Hello, grandkids, and welcome to a very special episode of Stunt Granny Audio. Since it's number 500, we have pulled Eric Nelson off the bench. What is going on, good sir?
You pulled the 500-year-old Eric Nelson to pinch hit for everybody else. I'll tell you what, man, it's been a while, but let's see if I still have my chops.
Yeah, as I said right before we started, I punched in your name to see how long it had been, and the most recent podcast with your attribution on it was with Dan Keister 3 years ago at the Waterloo Wrestling Hall of Fame there. So, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me that was the last time I got let out of the house. I appreciate that. Real cool.
Well, you're still not even out of the house.
I'll take what I can get, man. This is close enough. Just talking to another person. Human contact. This is great.
Yeah, well, I believe that these kinds of things seem to happen when you have a child. The wife and I are perfectly okay with the childless lifestyle moving forward. I'm going to throw that out there.
A lot of people are. I get it, man. I tell you what, it is a game changer, and it's a game changer in a positive way. It's been great. If folks who listen who still keep up with me on Facebook are probably sick of seeing this pudgy face show up on my feed all the time. Oh, and my babies too. But it's amazing. It's great. It does mean that I have to beg, borrow, and steal to be able to leave the house to go to a rock and roll show or even be in a rock and roll show. But I'm trying to raise a person and bring a little baby child into this world. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, these things happen. I don't think that it's that there are a certain large number of good things that that come out of that parenthood situation. And
it's great, man. What other thing happens in life that gives you this kind of responsibility? And you know what's funny is you like freak out about it as it's happening, and you worry, and like, I had literally never ever changed a diaper before I changed Ruthie's diaper. And like, and then of course they poop 12 times a day the first like month of their life. So you become an expert at this very quickly. You know, they say 10,000 right. hours makes you an expert. You can be a diaper changing expert in about a month with a newborn baby. But then like everything else it boils down to is like pretty simple. Like we're sitting at the kitchen table. I eat a green bean, you eat a green bean, and that's really all it takes. It's a significant amount of responsibility, but tactically, like, okay, you get a drink of water, I get a drink of water. You have a couple goldfish, I reach into your bucket and I eat a handful of your goldfish because I'm a bad dad. You got new responsibilities, Kevin. This is exciting.
Yeah, new work responsibilities at a much larger company.
That's awesome.
And it's going to be a learning experience because I'm going from the restaurant biz to the housing racket.
So we're talking residential houses, like that. This is going to be your responsibility to
now. Not really. They are residential, but it's more apartment style.
Oh, okay.
Or assisted living situations. So
very cool.
Yeah. It's a whole different ball game. So there's going to be there's a lot of learning that's going to hit me here in a real short order. It's going to take a minute.
How many old folks can you squeeze into 4,000 square feet?
Well, you're going to need a little more than 4,000 square feet. But I believe it's
maybe 40,000. Sorry, it took me a minute. You know, the first time I even understood what square feet was, somebody told me that the Sam Goody that I worked at in high school, they're like, this is a 3,000 square foot. So sorry, yes. And as soon as I said that, I'm like, oh, wait, my music store was only 3,000 square feet. That's barely enough room for Maude and Claude to eat dinner.
Yeah, that's a pretty small situation.
Can you imagine what a scenario that would be?
And that's, I mean, that's basically like a food truck is what you're describing. Okay. Maybe a double wide food truck.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh my God. Okay. Maybe a couple more square feet. Well, that's interesting. So,
yeah,
that's different. I mean, you know, what's cool about the assisted living and kind of like senior living industry is like how they're trying to modernize it so much. Like, you know, 25 years ago when my great aunt and like then my grandma were in an old folks home, it looked like it was the inside of the building was the color of Listerine mouthwash and it smelled like urine and everybody just sat there moaning and it was the most depressing shit ever. And I feel like they're doing a better job of modernizing assisted living. So you do have a lot of responsibility, Kevin.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of different standards that I have to worry about now. I do not have to worry about whether a kitchen hood has the correct duct wrap on it anymore. That concern is square out of the window. So
nice. Yeah. What about you've got letters from like, you know, recent grad, like 20 somethings, all the way to like the bad in the place to live. Are you going to plan some like Matt Lauer sex den throughout your layout, or you know, how does that work? Because I make sure that the pool is big, so all the frat guys and sorority girls have a place to hang out.
Yeah, I don't know how much control I will have on that, to be completely honest with you.
Make sure you give me the gate. I want the gate code. I want the code to get in. I want to hang out at the pool with my beer cans. You can't have glass bottles. I'm just like I'm overthinking what you're going to be building.
Like I said, there's always some rules to follow, and the fun stuff just most architects don't get to do the fun stuff with that kind of stuff in it. It is kind of a limited number of architects that design that kind of thing. It's kind of funny how niche gets.
It's niche. I tell you what, though, man, yeah. Apartment buildings and retirement homes, you're getting them coming and going.
This is very true.
People are dying to get into the retirement home business.
Oh, Jesus. Okay,
Kevin immediately IMing me last week.
Yeah, well, it was kind of funny. I did run into a couple of wrestling fans at the new office already, because someone had a Wrestling Legends postcard up, and they were pretty receptive to the whole podcasting on a website situation. I'm like, okay, yeah, like no one kind of batted an eye at the whole idea. I was like, yep, that's kind of what I do for fun. Well,
shout out to Kevin's new coworkers.
Yeah, so maybe they'll end up being on the show before you are the next time.
Ooh, you're probably right. Ouch.
But anywho, since we decided to try and even half-ass this by doing a half number last week, when I recorded with Chris. I know that you at least pay some cursory attention to the WWE product. And that is what happens to usually be enjoyable on this show. So, I suppose that you said that you didn't watch any of SmackDown tonight?
I did not get a chance to, no, but I was following along, and I see that they're advancing storylines with Kofi and the New Day, and I see that they're advancing storylines with, what else did I see? I saw Randy Orton interrupted the Angle AJ Styles match.
So, oh my God. Yeah, I was, with that match, I was so thankful that AJ Styles didn't have to do the job like Samoa Joe did last week, or on Monday night.
I know, I'm sorry. I know for people who are watching wrestling a little bit more regularly than me that this is not news, but Kurt Angle looks like shit. Like, I don't want to fight him, but Jesus Christ, he looks like something that you would make out of purple clay, and I'm supposed to believe that he can that easily beat the United States champion, who also happens to be Samoa Joe, especially after he's like shuffling his way up the ramp and like hands on his knees, huffing and puffing, trying to get back to a normal body color, while Samoa Joe is just standing there looking at him like, I just lost to a fucking like plastic dildo. This is the like, what a horrible moment. I don't know, there's so much wrong with that. They're never going to give Joe the ball to run with. They're bending over backwards for Angle, even though he looks as immobile as like an LJN action figure from the 80s. Oh, man, just nothing right about that. So, yes, I guess as long as they could keep, you know, from actually beating AJ Styles in a match, then good, but better than the Joe scenario.
Oh yeah, I felt terrible for Joe for that. Because just when you thought he did have some momentum, and I do love the fact that I can't believe I didn't tweet anything about it tonight. I love the pettiness of the WWE. On both counts of Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle, or Samoa Joe and AJ Styles wrestling Angle, in no way did they acknowledge TNA on TV.
Right. Right, yeah. These two have a storied past. Well, tell us the story. Maybe that'd be interesting. You know, take it back to the good old days, at least, you know, like, they would make slight references beyond that, or like, you know, this isn't the Jim Ross days of, like, college football, Syracuse University King, or anything like that, but at least, you know, like, a storied history will tell me more. I haven't seen Kurt Angle, other than the last year, I haven't seen Kurt Angle for 9 years. Where has he been? Oh, well, it's part of the storied history that we can only apparently talk about on the Edge and Christian show, or Table for Three, like... Do you notice that any references to TNA just get buried in the darkest corners of the WWE network?
Well, yeah, and I guess that's the other part that's funny to me, because even on TV, Randy Orton said something about Dixie Carter, and it's just like, really? You can say Dixie Carter, but you can't say TNA? You guys are so fucking petty that it's hilarious.
Right. Oh, if I didn't make it, pal.
Because,
motherfucker, we're not going to talk about it.
I mean, Impact Wrestling is just a completely different animal at this point. Like, there is no connection to the Dixie Carter regime there, so...
Right.
You know, it's, yeah, TNA itself is dead, even though they will claim the lineage to make things sound better.
Flip Gordon has a storied past. I don't know. I don't even know who's on Impact. Rich Swann and Sammy Callahan have a storied past. Who knows? I don't know. I'm just making things up at this point.
That would be correct.
Surprised I'm saying two names together that even like are affiliated with each other right now.
Yeah,
I'm surprised that I'm not talking about the Mummy on ECW. I'm so far behind.
Well, the tapings that I went to in Las Vegas are finally airing on Impact. And
oh, yeah.
That Rich Swann versus Sami Callihan feud. And yes, there has been a full-fledged feud. I've watched too much Impact at this point. Like, I think I've got to give it up because it's better than it used to be, but it's still not terribly good.
We're getting into a new era of so much wrestling to choose from that at least now you can be picky if you want to be, right? Like,
yeah.
You've got YouTube shows dedicated to good quality wrestling, and you've got Access TV, and you've got New Japan World and everything. And it's like, if you don't want to look on channel like 1.0.0.8 on your dial to find Impact, you don't have to.
Yeah, and you can still watch a shit ton of wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. And good wrestling.
Yeah. And like I said, like some of the competitors, like Jordynne Grace and Tessa Blanchard is who I'm watching right now. Because I just decided that some of this needed to be watched without sound. for my own expediency. But, you know, they're actually two good wrestlers. And I really like both of them, and I know who wins this match too, just because again, the week that taped this past Friday was the first taping that I was at.
Yep.
And then this coming week will be the Against All Odds special at Samstown Casino.
There's your lineage to TNA. All these horrible names like Slammiversary and Phil Collins Against All Odds, Bound for Glory Hole. Hey, whatever happened to that kid who got ran over by LAX?
You know, I joined in watching after that happened.
Oh, okay.
So, I will plead ignorance on that angle. I am aware of it.
How's Elix Skipper doing these days? How's Colin Delaney doing over at ECW? I'm so behind the times, I can't even get AIDS yet.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know how I came to this page, but I opened up a web browser just to see what was... Oh, I went to my Gmail. I just have my web browser open. And I subscribed to Qora. It's spelled, for if you're not familiar with it, folks, it's spelled Q-U-O-R-A. And I think that it's supposed to be like kind of short or like cute verbiage for like questions or answers. And so people pose questions and then multiple people can answer and the answers get upvoted. And whatever. So Qora sends me this digest on like a weekly basis, and it's the most random shit ever. So I'm scrolling through, and people ask, is Steven Seagal really a martial arts expert? Is Snopes liberal? Why did George Harrison believe that Paul McCartney ruined him as a guitarist? Just dumb shit. Absolutely dumb shit. Why is vaping now more dangerous than smoking cigarettes? The first question on this Qora Digest that I looked at as we were getting online. Why is Ric Flair regarded by many as the greatest wrestler of all time? Asked by Joe Vario, comma, former family owner of a dinner house for over 20 years. Well, I don't give a shit about that, but let's see what the Qora community answered. Why is Ric Flair regarded by many as the greatest wrestler of all time?
I mean, that's one where I in some ways I'm kind of fascinated. Unless that's a child, like, doesn't everyone at this point kind of have a pretty good idea of what he's done?
Right. And
even in the WWE, they have retrospectives about Ric Flair's career at least a few times a year.
Oh, he had a storied history. And this guy was the family owner of a dinner house from 1959 to 1981. So he is definitely of an age to know Ric Flair. So this is what people said. This is the answer that got upvoted the highest. Ric Flair did things no one else will ever come close to doing again in the squared circle. Number one, make other wrestlers look good. No, no one will ever come close to doing that again. Which, with even Steven booking and fucking 18 hours a week of WWE programming to film, no, no one's ever going to make anyone else look good. Wrestle for an hour, nonstop. Nope, not since Ric Flair's heyday have I ever seen anybody wrestle for an entire hour nonstop. Oh, this is good. Sell the action. No other wrestler could make you believe they were hurt, begging for mercy, lose a test of strength, and believe it was debilitatingly painful, etc., better than Ric Flair. And then this is the best one, because it's the last one. Number four, return to wrestling after suffering a broken back in a plane crash. I mean, if you're going through the WCW power plant, I would think that Sergeant Buddy Lee Jones, or whatever the fuck his name was, the first thing he would tell you to do to succeed is go break your back in a plane crash. And this, folks, is where the dregs of the earth live, is Kiwara, questions and answers.
I mean, I can't believe that that was voted as the best description. I mean, because that is terrible.
That is so bad.
And, like, all that stuff, I guess, is what I might call true, but the presentation of the facts was not well done.
No, this guy wasn't in his debate club in high school.
I mean, if it was the best ones, I don't want to know what the ones lower than that were.
Yeah, seriously. They probably all just say, woo. Oh, man. What else is going on around WrestleMania season?
Well, if you want to stick to the woo, we could stick to his child.
Who had a successful night tonight.
Yeah, and something of a surprise night to many people. I continue to feel completely terrible for Asuka, who keeps on winning the championship only to be used in a pawn in a larger plot to make sure Charlotte's the top of the heap.
Yeah.
I understand why they did it, but it's just also one of those ones where it's just like, man, I understand and feel bad at the same time.
Yeah, they spent so much time building her up in NXT to use her as a stepping stone on the main roster. I would look at it optimistically. Like, I think I saw her once live at an NXT show and maybe live since then. I can't remember. And hearing you talk about her, like, everybody loves her. I feel as though she's kind of made of Teflon right now. Like, and again, from not watching on a weekly basis, she could rebound from this in the right scenario, but you're right, like, you know, she came in as, like, the undefeated, she had a storied history in NXT, and, I mean, it didn't take her that long to start losing matches, so, I mean, I do hope for the sake of the fans who clearly enjoy Asuka that she, you know, they find a way to get her back on track.
Yeah. I just feel bad for her, like, it, because every time it did look like she was back on track, especially this latest title reign, they're like, oh, okay, she's back on track, and then it's just like, she sat and did nothing for much of the last month and a half.
Yeah.
And it's just like, here you go. I mean, it was, and you didn't watch it, but I did, it was a fantastic match, which I was not surprised by. It was, to me, easily the best match of the night. Better, because those gauntlet matches are just trash.
Oh, of course they are, and it's always the same storyline throughout every gauntlet match. Like, as I'm reading the push notifications, I'm like, yep, of course the bar lost their fall and then attacked them right before the Usos came out. Like, Jesus, it's the same paint by numbers shit as beat the clock challenges and you know, Raw Roulette and all the other dumb shit that they just dust off every 12 weeks.
I guess that was tied to I don't know if that was part of the reason why Charlotte felt the need to win the women's the SmackDown women's title, because that beat the clock challenge, what did that mean really? She got the toughest opponent and still almost tapped her out in a minute and a half, but they played that up way more than I kind of expected them to.
You would think that for all the options that they have in their pocket, that, like, why that one? I don't know. I bet you if anybody's God, I would murder myself if I were the guy keeping up the Wikipedia entry for, like, not even gimmick matches, but, like, just stupid-ass scenario they put on Monday Night Raw all the time. I'm going to look it up. List of WWE gimmick matches. And I'll check in here in a minute and see if I would let you know if I found anything good.
Okie dokie.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm not going to... I literally could waste minutes reading through all these. I'll try to buzz through them. Ooh, empty arena match. That would have been good. A flag match? No, it doesn't really work. Strip matches has its own section. Bra and panties, tuxedo match, and an evening gown match. I need to look up what they mean when they say a substance match. The match is contested in a large container filled with various substances, typically between two female individuals who may or may not have experience with wrestling. Substances can include anything from mud to chocolate milk. Sometimes specialty substances are used for certain occasions, e.g. gravy for Thanksgiving and eggnog for Christmas. Substance match. The following contest is set for one fall. Everybody screams one fall. And it will be a substance match.
I do love the title of that.
Could you do like a spin the wheel, name the substance?
it has to be a Las Vegas show so that it doesn't sound like it was planned.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I just left it up to the wheel, man. I don't know how the women got a bra and panties match all over again.
I mean, just because I put my foot out and stopped the wheel. What else do they have? So they've got championship scramble, gauntlet. Of course, they put gauntlet and beat the clock in the same disgusting bracket here. Stretcher match, dumpster match. Oh, that's fun. Ambulance match. I don't know, man. Honestly, like, we've come a long way from just plain old cage matches, but I don't see a lot of good other options here. A Miracle on 34th Street fight. Oh, that's good.
Hey, yeah, I don't think they're going to do that. The beat the clock challenge, I guess, gets three people involved.
Yeah, I guess. Hey, here's an interesting story about WrestleMania and the marketing for WrestleMania. So at our agency, one of our clients is a cable provider, an internet provider, and they send letters and direct mail pieces and everything out to customers to promote events like WrestleMania. And so one of my coworkers, I see on his screen, he's got this big WrestleMania Photoshop file. And I see he's literally like shutting off layers and the wrestlers are going away one at a time. And I'm trying to remember from left to right approximately who was on it. And I want to say it was Bayley, Sasha, Seth Rollins, Brock, Roman Reigns, Bobby Lashley. I said Brock. And then I think next to them were Charlotte, Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, and then all three members of the New Day. And somebody at the agency had said, because it was very wide horizontally, and they had to fit it into a skinnier spot. So they're like, take this person off, this person off, this person off. And they took off Becky Lynch and somebody else, and I can't remember who at the time, and I'm like, okay, stop. I know you think I'm a hillbilly, but this is actually information I can put to use here at work. Turn this redhead broad back on. These three women are the main event. And the guy was like, really? And I said, they've come a long way since Hulk Hogan and Mr. T. Like, these three women are the main event of the show. So you have to keep them on. Oh, okay, well, I'm glad to know that because I moved this greasy-haired guy over in her spot. And I'm like, well, that greasy haired guy is Seth Rollins, and he's from Iowa, so don't shut him off. But he's wrestling this guy who's Brock Lesnar, who everybody knows. And they're like, well, what about these three guys? I'm like, oh, man. Well, if you don't want any diversity other than Bobby Lashley, I guess you can shut off the New Day, except this guy played football for Iowa. So I like him. So anyway, that was a story from work today. I got to tell people, like, they're like, well, who's this? And I said, well, look for the Photoshop file or layer labeled Big E. Oh, there's Big E. Well, who's this guy? I'm like, they don't have a label for Kofi? So we're like, okay, is it layer 608 or 609? And like, going through the marketing materials for the cable company to try to turn on and shut off wrestlers for a WrestleMania promo. That was part of my day to day, folks.
That sounds pretty fun.
I'm still a hillbilly in their eyes, though.
Yep. Well, these things happen, I suppose.
Yeah, as they do. Yep.
But you should defend your Iowa boys there too.
Right. I mean, I kept having to refer to him as the greasy-haired one, but yeah, like let's keep Seth on there. Come on. Let's keep Big E on there. He was all the way over on the far right. I'm like, can you like put him? Can you have him peek up over the WrestleMania logo? Like, Finn Balor as the Demon was also like crouched down below everybody, and I'm like, well, he'd be easy to get rid of.
They really haven't used that Demon gimmick all that much on the main roster.
I know if I'm him and I'm wrestling Brock Lesnar for the Universal title, I'm going to come out as plain old Finn Balor. That's how I'm going to win.
Yeah, well, hold on. No, he didn't pull out the Demon against Finn Balor, did he? Or against...
No, against Brock. Didn't. Like, no, I mean, why would he do that? How else in the hell is he going to beat, you know, the beast incarnate Brock Lesnar? Oh, no, I'll just come out as plain-ass Finn Balor. Sure.
They sold it, but, yeah, I didn't think he was going to win either.
Right. How's the ECW champion Christian doing? Sorry. How's Screamin' Norman Smiley doing these days?
You know, I do listen to the Christian on the Edge and Christian podcast more than the network show, honestly. And yeah. That was the one thing that I was kind of excited about, the new office. I'm like, oh, still allowed to listen to the podcast. Okay.
That's great.
This can work for me.
I love the show. The show is, dude, there are so many treats in that show for old-time fans. It is such, it's just, I laugh out loud constantly throughout that show. I love the podcast, too, don't get me wrong, but I'm going to do my impression of those guys on the podcast. Brother, Tommy. Like, okay, so everybody who just had their car stereos up to, like, 14 had to turn them up to, like, 24. Hey, Edge, I think you're probably over in Iceland filming your TV show, aren't you? You think you're such a big deal with your big house and your cute kids and your beautiful wife. I'm like, I can't turn this Apple product up loud enough to hear you. You've got to speak up. You are professionals who are being paid, presumably by your one advertiser, to do this show. You're selling your Paul Smackage t-shirts. At least make it so I can hear you every once in a while. iPhone all the way up to 10,000. They don't make accessories loud enough to hear you, is all I'm saying.
Oh, I guess I'm glad I listened to them on a... I know that they can go... Well, especially Christian can go quiet like that. But I guess on a PC it doesn't sound so bad.
I suppose. Well, let me tell you something, Jay. Let me tell you something about what I'd like to do to you. I'd like to take your tongue out of your mouth and slap you in the dick with it. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something, Adam. Let me tell you something, Edge. I'd like to staple your nutsack to an oak tree and hope that the troops come home safe. Huh. Well, I tell you what I'd like you guys to both do is speak the fuck up so I can hear you. You You caught me on a good night, Kevin.
Well, that is a perfect description of one of their exchanges.
Tommy. Yes, guys. What? Oh, God. Somebody at a House of Heart. I promoted House of Hardcore 78 the other night, and it was an amazing independent show. But I had people coming up to me all night saying, Tommy. Oh, yeah, it's really funny, Tommy. Hey, Tommy. Hey, Tommy. What do you think about Tony Nese, Tommy? Hey, Tommy. Hey, who's going to be on your show next, Tommy? Tommy. I don't dislike the show. It's funny, but you guys got to speak the fuck up.
Oh man! Well, hopefully this message gets out to Edge and Christian, and they speak the fuck up. I know that they're probably listening to Stunt Granny. There was a mole inside the WWE. It hasn't been there since Edge and Christian left. So maybe found our one of our two possible culprits.
Hey, Edge, I met you in Waterloo at the Hall of Fame inductions when you got inducted the last time I was able to leave the house. So, you know, you and me, brother.
But I guess we could talk a little bit about the greasy-haired one, because I would say, rightfully should have been on your brochure.
Well, if he's going to wrestle the guy, the male wrestler that everybody in the world knows, then sure. They need to, and I think he was on the chopping block at one point, too. I'm like, the only guy on this poster that anybody knows is Brock Lesnar. And the person who he's wrestling, you're considering taking off, like, I don't know. I mean, that's what happens when you get non-wrestling. I get it. I like, not whatever. Like, marketing material does not stay only in the hands of people who are this into pro wrestling. Trust me, I get that. But like, they, you know, we had a trivia thing at work. It was almost like somebody brought beer to work, like a vendor, uh-huh, and did a pub trivia for us at work. And one of the things was, you know how pub trivia works. So you got your piece of paper and you write down your answers and then you turn your answers in at the end of every round. And kind of one of the like extra points questions was the WWE, and that's as much as she got out of her mouth. And everybody turns and looks at me like, just wait. And they're like, the WWE traditionally has four big pay-per-view events throughout the year. Name two of them. And I just yell, you only want two? So, like, they know to come to me for this shit.
Yeah.
So just, like, you give this Photoshop file, and you're like, well, we don't have room. So, like, I don't know. Like, where's the intellectual curiosity there that tells you, there's probably something to this. Like, you don't get, like, a poster for Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather and say, well, I only have enough room for one of them. No, dummy. You make room. So, yeah. Keep greasy Seth Rollins on there. Who, by the way, had a standout performance pandering to the crowd last night with his awful, we have 3 hours to fill, so we're going to cart out Seth Rollins. And the first thing he says is, let me cut to the chase, and proceeds to cut the fucking most pandering 10-minute promo ever. And I mean, Christ. How many times are you going to say burn it down? By the way, did you, again, I don't watch every week, so I missed this. What was the crowd chanting at him that at one point he was like, close enough? Like, was there something like a phrase that they're chanting that I'm not aware of?
Or what was that all about? I don't, you know, I kind of watched in fast forward this week due to the new job.
Sure.
And, you know, having to talk to certain persons after the new job, which took a while.
Well, that was skippable. Maybe I'll go. Let me see if I can find something on the prowrestling.net write-up. Let me do a search for overbearing pandering promo by the main event babyface.
The promo itself was kind of bad, but I guess I didn't. Oh, and I have no idea what that chant was, and I don't think it was a regular chant.
It must not have been, because there's no, Jason Powell didn't reference it in his write-up. I will say this, if it weren't for that horrible Seth Rollins promo, we wouldn't have had the awesome Paul Heyman promo making fun of the phrase, thoughts and prayers. That was great. You're gonna have my thoughts and prayers. My doggy has a hangnail. You're going to have my thoughts and prayers. I should be trying to say that through fatter cheeks. Sorry. Thoughts and prayers.
That did sound a little more Heyman-y, I would say, when you try to get through the cheeks.
Let me squeeze. I have earbuds in, so I don't know if I'm blocking out my voice, but let me try to squeeze my cheeks together and talk about thoughts and prayers. I don't know if that sounded okay or not, but
yeah, that sounded pretty decent, I think.
Thank you. I've been listening to Conrad Thompson and Tony Schiavone doing impressions on their podcast, and I'm like, this is inspiring. I'm going to see what I can do on the show tonight.
Yeah, well, Seth Rollins was anti-inspiring, I think. And it was one of those reasons why I'm like, yep, this is why you guys aren't the main event.
Yeah, for sure. This is a 6-minute match on WrestleMania.
Well, it's definitely going to get more than 6 minutes. And I guess I still see Seth Rollins winning it. Like, they've not pulled the trigger on so many people. I hope that they realize that they need to do this just for the sake of not completely destroying Seth Rollins.
It's turning into a Family Guy joke that is just one of those never-ending jokes. Like, oh, it's going to be Braun. Nope, it's going to be Roman. Nope, it's going to be Finn. Nope, it's going to be Seth. I mean, we'll see. But, like, if you put those four guys in a lineup, like, if you put those four guys, Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Braun Strowman, and Roman Reigns, in a Photoshop file and told a graphic designer to shut off the layers of the people who weren't going to win the match, there's no fucking way Seth Rollins stays on that Photoshop file. There's just not. People are going to look at either Roman Reigns or Braun Strowman and say, that's the guy right there. So, like, I don't know, dude. Other than, like, that, like, brief hiatus where Goldberg had the belt, like, is there anybody else who can conceivably get this belt off of him and that it actually makes sense? And especially not after such a pansy promo last night by Seth Rollins. We are going to do it, and we are going to be inspired by Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart and Ric Flair, Triple H and John Cena, and we are going to, you know, I'd rather listen to thoughts and prayers than listen to, we are going to do this. And it's funny, we play with Ruthie's toes all the time and do the This Little Piggy, and we get to wee-wee-wee all the way home. She calls her toes wee-wees. It's so cute. It's so cute.
Yeah, Paul Heyman definitely figured Seth Rollins was wee-weeing the whole way home.
Go home.
Oh, man. So,
this should be interesting. You know, it's funny just because, like, honestly, like, you could probably see the women's match being announced as the main event coming from a mile away because of the progress that the women's division has made, while at the same time, like, all together, WWE feels like it's in just a holding pattern. Like, everything is just the same. Everything is the same, like, 10-minute promo followed by a 10-minute interruption followed by gotcha, and then a 20-minute match. And then a promo where, gotcha, and then they go through a table. And then a 20-minute match, and then a 10-minute promo, and a 10-minute, gotcha, and here's a dick joke, and, oh, your balls are in Stephanie's purse, ha, 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 and, you know, and, oh, you don't know the meaning of a lot of things, because you don't own a dictionary, ha, sure got you there, I'm a comedy writer from Hollywood. It's dog shit comedy, and matches with no stakes. I don't know, man. It's just, it's hard. I find it hard to I don't mind reading about it. That's why I listen to the podcasts, and that's why I watch old stuff on the network, and that's why I watch the Edge and Christian show and turn my TV all the way up to 10,000. Oh, yeah, it's the Chumpstain Challenge. Oh, yeah. Those look like Lex Luger's knee pads. Oh, yeah. Oh, Chumpstain Challenge. Winner. It's just like, I can't get behind another 20-minute match with the same people, and then somebody bounces off a table, and then the table's rebuilt for the following segment. And then Baron Corbin. If there's any reason to not pay attention these days, it's Baron Corbin.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, it kind of goes back to that Kurt Angle being shot. Like, yeah, I don't know anyone that could have a good match with Kurt Angle at this point. Like, Samoa Joe couldn't do it. AJ Styles is like, nah, I give up. Like, AJ Styles didn't give up on Shane McMahon, you know?
Right.
But with Kurt Angle, he's just like, nah, man, Randy Orton's gonna come in and RKO me. I mean, that's just the way it's gotta be.
He's like, I'm AJ Styles. I'm the face that built the place. I'm the man who built SmackDown. I'm a Christian boy. I'm a good Southern Christian boy. I'm not gonna wrestle this purple dildo looking wrestler. Oh, that's Kurt Angle? Well, I'll be a son of a gun. We have a storied history. This ain't worth it. Sorry, I don't know if we still say things like that on the show, but Kurt Angle just looks like a purple dildo.
Well, I don't think that comes to anyone's head necessarily, but it is also an accurate description.
Well, just like the way his like oversized head, and like I don't know what happened to him in over his age, but like his jaw and his like throat area got bigger, and his neck leading down to his like. He still has traps, but he doesn't have shoulders. It's like somebody could make like a 1-to-100 scale replica of him, and a woman could use him as a sex toy. I hope none of my coworkers ever listen to this.
Well, you know.
Here's your Olympic dildo, Kurt Angle.
Oh. We will we will make sure that we send it specifically to your office.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Oh, well, I'm glad I missed this. Kurt Angle was interviewed backstage by Charlie Caruso, the fucking charisma vacuum of all backstage interviewers. If I have to see Charlie Caruso host another Chumpstain Challenge on the Edge and Christian show, I'm going to barf.
Oh, she's on there, too.
Oh, she's the worst. Well, Edge, it sure looks like you know your knee pads. Well, Edge, it sure looks like you're up 1-0. Well, let's see if Christian can make up ground on this quiz about knee pads. Well, Christian, that sure was a lucky guess. Ugh, barf. Get out of here. I'd rather hear Beth Phoenix's opinion on that, too.
the Phoenix one is too busy getting ready to wrestle again.
Well, true. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is a pretty interesting outcome of this whole women's tag team title thing. Yeah. Beth Phoenix, certainly, out of all the women who have come out of retirement, she honestly seems like she's always been the most ready to actually wrestle in these situations.
She really does. Like, that is funny to watch the parade of former women wrestlers, and like she clearly could still go. As I'm trying to think of like a good example of stuff, like when was the last time they marched Sunny out from one of these things?
Oh,
I guess the last time she didn't have a fucking ankle bracelet on, but
yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah,
since she's been on.
That's a good point. But like Kelly is still clueless.
Oh, yeah, she's still not good, and I'm just,
like Tori Wilson is marginal anyway.
Yeah, she's just not bad. You know, I'm good right. with her being, you know, that's another one that we've talked about, at least something that I don't really care that, like, whoever gets in the Hall of Fame gets in the Hall of Fame. Like, and Tori Wilson really did, weirdly enough, she had a 9-year career or something like that. Like, it
Isn't
was
that crazy?
Yeah, like, she just, even though she didn't do anything, like, most of the women did not last 9 years in that time frame.
Absolutely not. So I'm looking at Beth Phoenix's Wikipedia entry. You couldn't have shown me this match on the WWE Network and expected me to remember it. But WrestleMania 28, which was the first Cena Rock match, Beth Phoenix and Eve Torres were defeated by Kelly Kelly and Maria Menounos.
Oh my God!
Jesus. Oh my God, there's a main event in any National Guard armory in the country.
Because, hold on, which one was 28?
28 was, it was Rock Cena. Was it the one that was in Miami?
Oh, that was Miami, okay.
Yep.
I remember better by city at this point than I do by number.
Oh, it's too many numbers, yeah. Let's see, which one was it that Sheamus wrestled some random-ass person? I'm with you. It was the year I didn't go. Well, I mean, I haven't obviously gone to a number of them, but like, you know, lucky enough to see Cena and Miz, and not lucky enough to see Cena and Rock. But whatever.
Because I'm trying to. Yeah, that first New Orleans one is going to be just hard to beat from. Because it was WrestleMania, and it was when The Undertaker lost his streak. So
That's huge. And that feels like that will be, like, the, I don't know, for me anyway, too, like, the last truly memorable. And I don't know if it's because, like, when I got back into wrestling at age 9, there had only been a couple WrestleManias, and so I just consumed them repeatedly. But I could probably tell you every match on WrestleMania 4 in order. And it was a fucking, like, 14-man tournament and a bunch of filler matches, too. I couldn't tell you 3 matches that happened at WrestleMania 28. I just couldn't. Like, I'd be like, okay, who the fuck did CM Punk wrestle that night? Cody Rhodes, Rey Mysterio, Jericho, Undertaker, I don't fucking know. Like, they just all started to blend together.
Well, and even the ones, like, I guess I remember the big moments at that first New Orleans one, but I don't really remember that much else that went on, though.
I'd have to go back and look in between.
Even though I was there, like, I'm kind of terrible. It's just, like, it's information in and information out. Like, I don't need to keep track of that. I'm like, fuck it. I know, it's another one of those things, too, that just like you hopping onto Wikipedia, it's just like, I know I can find that information, like. I'm not really worried about it.
That's a great point. Like, we're in an era where we don't really need to commit things to memory anymore because we can just look. We can just Google it.
Yeah, and I mean, again, I know that I'm always going to remember it for those matches, and you can kind of fill in the blanks after that.
Yeah, exactly. let's see. Just for the sake of conversation, so that was also the Silverdome Superdome.
yes. I forgot
that was also
about
the Ultimate Warrior's last WrestleMania appearance. Is that the one where Seth Rollins? No, did he leave with the belt?
No, that was the next year in California.
That's right. John Cena and Bray Wyatt. That was maybe like the first year where John Cena's role was like super diminished.
Oh yeah.
Let's see, this was 2014, so this was the, by this time, I think the Shield had gotten back together for the 8th time. No, we need one more run, we need one more, no, you don't. You've had a good Tori Wilson run, you guys don't need to reunite again.
Yeah, the WWE loves that reunion.
They do.
Because
really draws the people.
I mean, people do react to it more than a lot of things. So I'll give them that much.
The whole is greater than the sum of its parts, to be sure. Like, Seth Rollins is still like greasy Iowan, cuts a pansy promo. And then when he's the bad, I went off on this tangent a long time ago, but like, he's like, he was the worst when it came to, I'm going to wrestle Triple H. Guess what, Triple H? Your balls are in Stephanie's purse. Ugh. And then, of course, everybody hates Roman Reigns. And then,
well, that is kind of the funny thing, that a lot of people don't hate Roman Reigns now because he had leukemia.
Fair. But in the whole of their careers, like, those three guys together are significantly more popular than the individuals, I guess.
I would think, because there was a moment in me, I'm like, hold on, they've talked so much about Dean Ambrose walking after WrestleMania that he's coming back, right? Because, like, they're not going to, like, actually just have him go off into the sunset now that they've mentioned it, right? But I'm like, no, it's starting to look like he's gone after WrestleMania.
Sure, maybe. I don't know.
Because if he isn't, having a losing streak to Drew McIntyre is not the best thing to put on your resume.
Right. Which has been going on for how long? Because, let's see. Oh, there's an entry on his Wikipedia, or a section on his entry. The Shield reunions. That's great because it's plural. And then you get down to, okay, on the August 13th, 2018 episode of Raw, Ambrose returned to assist Rollins in an attack from, guess who? Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler. So we're getting closer to the end of a 7-month stretch of the same matches over and over and over again.
Well, they have little breaks in between, but it's kind of crazy. And the fact that as an overall whole, what actually happens in ring, I'm quite content with these days.
The in-ring product is good. And I've told people this recently too, like, you know, there's not really bad wrestling in wrestling these days. Like, you gotta be a pretty shitty wrestler to be putting on a bad wrestling match in 2019. But everything is of the same level of importance, so I'm not, like, invested in it.
Oh, like, right.
It's probably a good 20-minute match, but if you plucked it out of Monday Night Raw on a random week and plugged it into, like, WrestleMania 2, like, I'd be over the fucking moon about it. But it's just as good as the 20-minute match that was before it and just as good as the 20-minute match after it. So it's like, oh, I have a hard time getting, like, emotionally invested in this. Can I tell you, I went back and, because of the death of King Kong Bundy, I went back and watched the WrestleMania 2 main event, King Kong Bundy and Hulk Hogan in a steel cage.
Nice.
It was so bad. There was no drama. Like, there was no doubt in anyone's mind that Hulk Hogan was going to win. I think one of my favorite parts is Tommy Lasorda as the guest ring announcer, when he says, first introducing the manager, Bobby the Brain Heenan, and the crowd just goes fucking nuclear pissed. And I'm like, that's missing so much right now, when you can announce a manager and get that kind of reaction.
Oh, right.
Oh, and my favorite part too is Hulk Hogan. Boy, you talk about Kurt Angle being immobile. Hulk Hogan climbs to the top of the steel cage, but then he tries to get over it. It takes him like 3 tries to lift his leg up over the cage.
Oh my God.
Like, you're the world champ and you can't lift your leg to climb over a cage? So, good stuff. So how is this WrestleMania going to match up? Like, is this going to be like epic card that's going to be remembered fondly for years? Is this going to be like middle of the pack, I don't even remember who Randy Orton's opponent was, or, I mean, is it going to be like total dog shit taco? What do you think of WrestleMania this year?
Um, You know, the women's match is really attractive. I do think that all things said with greasy hair and Brock Lesnar, that should be a good match. You know, anyone that doesn't think that Brock Lesnar can work, and I see a number of people that we follow say such silliness, and I'm just like, I don't even know what to tell you, man. Like, you know, when he wants to wrestle someone, he has a good match.
Yep.
So, and I think that he, and I would think that he might be actually a little annoyed that the women are taking the front page, but I think it's well deserved. Just, I understand that he wants to be an attraction that isn't there all the time, but I do right. think that for whatever reason in professional wrestling, like, as much as I hate the storyline of, and this was also a Seth Rollins line, oh, Brock Lesnar isn't here enough. There uh-huh. is something, though, that I think for the women, they have been there, and it's helped to make things better, you know, sure. And more important to me, like, I get it. Lesnar's an attraction. He kind of helps out with the box office and whatnot when he is on. But if he was just on a little bit more to kind of just peek his head in sometimes, I think it'd really help. Even if it's a fresh training montage or a video sure. shoot from his hunting lodge. Like, I don't, something pre-taped, I don't give a shit. Like, you can do stuff with him that you can't, that you don't or shouldn't do with other people necessarily, I guess, even.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. It just makes me think of, you know, Hulk Hogan didn't wrestle every week, but you saw some element of him almost every week.
Oh.
And yeah, like, totally. Yeah. You're exactly right, dude. Training montage, like, you know, when Hulk Hogan was off, like, if he was filming a Suburban Commando or something. Or, like, the lead up to that WrestleMania 2 with his broken ribs, you know? Like, he would, one of the things they showed him doing was training for the match. And, like, that's perfect for Brock, because Brock's a fucking beast. So show him in there with, like, a sparring partner, just throwing him all over a gym or whatever. And I get it, too, from the, so, you know, I get it. Your champion doesn't need to be on TV every single week. Hulk Hogan wasn't. I get it no. from the standpoint, like, in the UFC, like, the heavyweight champion doesn't defend his title at every single show. But you're right. Like, I guess it does. And you're also right. Brock Lesnar is a great wrestler.
Yeah.
He just doesn't need to wrestle the same 20-minute match that all these other fuckers do every week. Like, he can go out there and he can wrestle a 6-minute match that makes you kind of lose your breath. Like, oh my God, did he just do that? And oh my God, what a great finish. I didn't expect that, right? Like, isn't yeah. that exciting in pro wrestling still? So, I mean, give the guy his just due, which he did. But yeah, kudos to the women's division overall and just the kind of progressive nature of the way things are going with them, that they get the main event slot. I guess one thing I would wonder is the triple threat format going to be the best thing for this women's match? Are you going to get somebody in there like Ronda Rousey, who's not a really polished pro wrestler? Is this going to be good because it covers up any shortcomings? Bad because she's going to be lost out there? Or am I overthinking it?
Well, I mean, that could be the only potential problem, honestly. But, I mean, she is... I still think that she's shown an acumen for in-ring for as little experience as she has. Her comprehension of these things to me has been very high. And but it there's definitely a different dynamic with a triple threat match, and I've kind of resigned myself to the fact it was going to be a triple threat match a long time ago. So it's kind of hard to think about it the other way, you know.
It is. Am I imagining things, or is there a little bit of a backlash against Ronda Rousey at this time?
You know, It did start, and that's kind of the funny thing. I think that's what helps the, at least the recent storyline that they've been pushing with the women about who deserves it and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Ronda Rousey, like all of them kind of, and they have done this at least somewhat decent with some of these feuds, is put in elements of truth to it.
Right.
Ronda Rousey is certainly worthy of gathering some type of outside the regular wrestling bubble kind of attraction to things. Mm-hmm. And Becky Lynch has been her own, you know, she's really kind of lit it up on social media.
Right.
I'm glad I don't have to listen to this promo again. Johnny Impact, and I'm trying to think of what his wife's name is.
Because Taya?
Taya Valkyrie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking she goes by Wera Loca on the socials, and that's all I was thinking in my head.
Oh, sure. I'm surprised they came up with that and didn't say something like Marlena or Leilani Kai. I got some catching up to do.
We updated the women's division. We don't want to drop it back down that far.
800 years. I don't know. It'll be interesting. I feel like if they're not careful, the fans are going to say, look, Ronda, get out of the way and let these two have the match they deserve to have. So good for WWE for putting a mainstream draw in that position.
Oh.
And yes, she has shown competency in the ring. I hope that she's able to keep it up.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It will be a different animal that she needs to contend with. But yep. I guess we could be on our merry way if we so wanted to.
Sure. Actually, it's funny timing, dude. I'm using my AirPods, and they just gave me the little boop, 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 like they were going to run out of battery.
Well,
thanks a lot, AirPods. Thanks for giving me the go-home signal. Thanks for playing the music to wrap up my speech, you sons of bitches.
That is outstanding. You can find Eric on the socials if he feels like putting those out on the air, as he was once afraid to.
I pretty much tweet now exclusively about the Raven Effect podcast and this woman named Allie Gertz, who does a Simpsons podcast and is the editor-in-chief of Mad Magazine. So if you want some real hot social media activity about The Simpsons, Mad Magazine, and The Raven Effect, you can follow me at Eric D. Nelson. Otherwise, you ain't missing much.
Yeah. As I said, with the new job, the tweet factor is going to be plummeting for quite some time until I get everything under control here.
Yep.
You know, it could resume, but I know it'll take some time. I'm still at Defrag 11. I'm sure I'll be there every now and again on the weekends. And definitely to pimp the regular Monday night column. So, at Stunt Granny Brewing tonight, the Belgian double team that I brewed quite a while ago at this point. Still some of it in the basement. I really need to get to drinking more of my own beer here.
Me too. I need to get to drinking more of your beer too. It's been years at this point.
Yeah. Well, you guys, there is room to stay now. As long as no one is allergic to cats, everything, you know, it's we do have room for guests now, and that's kind of nice. The condo, definitely not room for guests.
We'll get a babysitter and get the first Greyhound over to Columbus.
Well, since you and Hold for Swank traveled the whole way to Dayton, Ohio, but not quite Columbus. I know what kind of trip you're in for.
Ooh, look out.
Yeah, I think that's a good night for me, and I'll let Eric send things officially off.
Well, happy 500, Kevin, and happy 500 to the rest of the crew. I'm gonna this family has grown so much. If I forget you, I apologize, but Jeremy, Dusty from back in the day, Chris, otherwise known as Callie, if you will, Shahid, other Kevin, who am I missing? There was another Eric at one point, which is absurd to me. Wasn't there somebody named Ken?
Yeah, my buddy Ken does the OPA episodes with me. Yeah, I've known that motherfucker for entirely too long.
Amazing. I love it. And everybody who we've run across over this entire amazing time, from the Torch family and the East Coast cast and all the 18,000 things that Seahawk is doing, which are awesome, and Agent Christian too, brother. Thanks for having me on for the Big 500. We'll catch you next time. Good night, fans.